early church practice and the Celtic church. That was his speciality. He's a fascinating guy. His tradition, though, you know, his Christian faith of sort of liberal theology was a completely new to me. And I was quite interested in his open and free sort of approach to people and the way he tolerated all sorts of kinds of behaviours and Christian positions and viewpoints that, from my perspective, coming from a sort of London evangelical background, I found quite challenging at first. And in many ways, it became a relief to me to find that you could be a Christian without all the hang-ups and the concerns. You know, what I found in his liberal faith was a tolerance and acceptance of others, an acceptance of one's humanity, which is allowed to breathe. You know, and I found it very helpful because up to then, I think I'd been at war within myself in my faith. You know, I was in perhaps a denial. And something that I experienced from being a very young Christian, converted in an evangelical background. And I was relieved of a lot of fear and guilt. Realizing that you could be a Christian and be fully human became quite important. You could be a Christian and know the love of God. Be a Christian and know that God was more interested in people than he was in their behavior. Behavior is important, but people are what God loves. And it helped me to understand, and it helped me be less judgmental and more accepting of those who perhaps are coming from a more difficult or from more challenging circumstances that I had. But there was something he used to say in our discussions that really remains with me now, and it hit me when I was reading the passage to preach on today, the passage in the gospel we've heard. He said that Jesus' teaching is very frightening and very scary. On one hand, he was quite dismissive of St. Paul and some of the Old Testament, his ideas being that the liberal theological view that these St. Paul was a human and he was writing from a human perspective. And he was writing with the understanding that he was mortal and he was going to die, as many of the authors in the Old Testament. But he said Jesus' words are different. Jesus' words and teachings were divine. They were unique and divine. And the teachings of the Gospels, such as the statements and challenges in our readings today, are points that you cannot really argue against. Jesus, you see, doesn't say things lightly, does he? His words are measured and they're perfectly honed. Jesus' words are divine. They cut through pride and piety and they reveal basic, hardline, universal truths that are timeless. And they always point to the will of the Father. Coming back to these words of Jesus, my friend said another important point. If you are going to believe, if you're going to accept Christ into your heart as your King and ruler, then you have to accept what Jesus says in the Gospels. They may be reported speech, they may have been adapted or changed, but all the Gospel writers apportion the words to Christ himself. So when we heard him speak today, it's Jesus talking. They're his stories, his accounts. My friend used to say, liberal theology train crashes at the buffers of Jesus' words. And I think that's true. If you take any truth out, or you redact, as they say, any of the gospel truths, what are you left with in the end? You throw the baby out, literally, with the bathwater. Or if you read the gospels with a pair of scissors, cutting out the bits you don't agree with or you don't like, you just end up in tatters. And there's another aspect that I read in one of the commentaries, this is exemplified in the passage today, that Jesus' teachings, a bit like the rule of reason, they follow the rule of common sense. They are standalone common sense truths. And said in such a way, with a common tongue, if you like, that local agrarian, probably non-literal population understood, they're very difficult to argue against. They were difficult to argue against then, and they're probably difficult to argue against now. For example, in our passage, he says, later on, in our passage, he talks about building the house on sand and the house on rock. You know, as an example of common sense understanding, if you're going to build something, make sure it's on firm foundations. He talks about those people who say, Lord, Lord, I may not know you. He's saying, watch your words. Be careful how you conduct yourselves. Common sense. Do not flannel and dress words up in chatter or flim-flam, or just to say what people want to hear. But use your words carefully. Be truthful and wise. And words will not get you into heaven alone. It's common sense, again. Action, being, and deeds will. And finally, you can tell the condition of a tree and the soil it's planted in by the fruit it bears. Again, it's kind of common sense, isn't it? You know, you don't get figs off thorn bushes. You know, and in that, you don't need to judge others, do you? That's the common sense truth, because people will reveal who they are by what they do or do not do. So there, the scary but all-important, wonderful, common sense truths of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, people hated Jesus for what he said, his teachings. Some people found it really difficult. As he spoke, he burst bubbles of pride and bubbles of conceit. He laid people bare. He exposed the intent in their hearts. These common sense truths could not be argued with then, and they're difficult to argue with today. And in the passage, the people say, at the end of this chapter, it wasn't in our reading, but the people are amazed because he speaks with such authority. You know, Jesus speaks with authority. And as many who found faith in Christ testify today, these no-compromise truths that Jesus declares throughout his Gospels, you know, you have to accept in your heart. If you accept into your heart, you generate a living and breathing faith in Christ. And as the epistle writer says, in doing so, you begin to interact with the Spirit who begins to advocate on your behalf. So as we're all sitting here this morning, the Spirit is speaking on your behalf, Sushi, on your behalf, Robert, your behalf, Judy, and my behalf, and every Rosemary and everybody else. You know, he's interceding with the Father, trying to work out what you need and where you're going and where your next steps are. That's what it means to live in spirit of truth. That's what it means to seek the will of the Father, and the Spirit will intercede. Now, some would say that my friend, and the liberal Christian, was perhaps the wolf in the sheep's clothing. You know, if you're an evangelical, a liberal theologian is certainly someone which makes you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps anyone in church leadership, perhaps I'm a wolf in a sheep's clothing. Perhaps Chris is. Perhaps Jill is. We don't know. But when you're in leadership, you are certainly at risk. You put yourself at risk of being labelled a hypocrite or a false prophet. That's why we need to pray for our church leaders. You know, the congregation need to pray, and we do. That's why the prayers for church leadership are in the prayer book. Now, to end, because this is a homily, I'm still an evangelical Christian, but I'm much more tolerant than I once was. I trust and have faith to believe that whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, whatever difficulties you're in, if you seek God in all honesty and sincerity, he will lead you, he will mould you, he will make you, he will change you into the person that you best are. Pretending anything otherwise is to fall into error of the pious Pharisee who acts out of perception of faith rather than being transformed from the inside out. I mean, I actually like the writers St. Paul and the Psalms of David and the prophecies of Isaiah and the Genesis stories. They are, yes, they're human accounts written by people like me who are trying to work their faith out in God. And despite their human behaviours and their weaknesses, we know from David and Paul's thorn in the flesh and so on, these authors' writings are like fruit picked from trees planted in good soil. And I would say that they are trees planting good soil, but still in growth. So I like to think that you and I are the same, that we're trees planted in good soil in our faith in Christ, but still being pruned and nurtured as we go. We're grafted into the vine, which we will celebrate in a moment, and we're tended and touched by the loving hand of Christ. Amen. Just receive the offertory, and we continue with our intercessions and prayers.